this Hawaii missile alert over the weekend around 8:05. I believe that would have been Hawaii time. The Hawaii emergency employee initiated the internal test, according to a timeline released by the state. From a drop-down menu on a computer, this employee of the Hawaii Emergency Services sees two options on his screen: test missile alert, and missile alert. He was supposed to choose which one? Which one? Test missile alert. But he hit the wrong button. And so suddenly phones, highway signs, and for almost 40 minutes, Hawaiians believed that missiles were incoming, presumably from North Korea. And the message that went out as a warning to them included, this is not a test. On a phone line is Toby Claremont. Toby Claremont is in Honolulu. Hi, Toby. I'm John Williams. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you?
I'm a little warmer than you are in Chicago, but great, thank you.
Oh, rub it in, Toby. Rub it in.
When you think all is lost here, you have to go outside and look at the sky.
Yeah, well, you know, not only are you warmer, but you're still there. So it's a win-win for Hawaiians and the world. You are the executive officer of the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency. What is that agency? What do you do, Toby?
What do I do? So I'm the executive officer. I'm the number two in the agency, and I handle pretty much, you know, like personnel matters, policy, procedures, and that sort of thing. And I work for Mr. Vern Miyagi, who many of you were introduced to on the television here the last 2 days. And he reports through the Adjutant General of the state to the governor.
So what happened over the weekend? I just read a description from a newspaper story, but why was that employee even looking at a screen with those two options, for instance?
Well, we are, you know, starting an investigation. We started that just hours after the event, and we're expected to publish a preliminary report on Friday. But early look at this appears very much like a simple error. One person, instead of pressing a button on a computer screen that says demo, which is a test procedure that does not go out to the public, he may have clicked on the button that actually triggered the system. So actually all the safeguards that are necessary up until that point worked correctly. It's just a simple computer error. And the
operator
way we characterize stuff like that is engineering errors. It's just in the design of the software, and we need to change that.
Do you suspect that the person did this deliberately, hit the wrong button deliberately, or did they do it accidentally?
Accidentally. This is a 10-year employee who we know well and have confidence in. That employee is distraught, just can't believe what he did or she did. And so we get it. This is not someone who is malicious or, you know, callous or...
It wasn't a lark or anything, yeah.
Well,
it would seem to me, though, that maybe some malfeasance was at play, or maybe it's an honest mistake by an employee who's distraught. Either way, it should not be so easy to do. That is, just like we imagine a bomb being launched, maybe two people consecutively have to hit a key or somebody else has to sign off on it. Are you telling me that there's no fail-safe to keep somebody from accidentally doing this?
There is. Well, first of all, let me give you a little context, which I think is missing from the conversation around the country. One is we are a 20-minute launch from North Korea. So if North Korea or the DPRK fired a nuclear missile at us, from the time it launches, impact will be in 20 minutes. It takes about 5 minutes for the U.S. military, NORAD, U.S. Pacific Command, and others to detect the launch, to characterize the launch, meaning it's going to hit Hawaii. And then we have about 5 minutes to reach 1.4 million people. And then we need to give our population about 10 minutes to take protective action, to preserve their own life, which means getting into buildings, and we could talk more about that if you'd like. But it's a very, very tight time frame. And the only way we can reach people as that quickly and that broadly is using electronic means. And so we do have it all in one spot with an alternate, of course, where it needs to be triggered. It's a team of people, not just one individual. But it appeared that although everyone looked at it and said, yep, that's the right thing to do, still managed to click the wrong button. So the safeguards around that need to be reviewed and additional layers of protection in there. But what we can't compromise is the time it takes to do it.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I would, here's my advice, if you, and I know you're really interested in what a talk show host in Chicago thinks.
No, sure.
Well, what you should have is two separate screens so that it couldn't be the click of a mouse on one. We've all done that. Anybody who's hit send all instead of send to one person knows the horror of hitting the wrong button with your mouse. But maybe that should not be the option on the same page, that you would have had to intentionally gone to that page, and then you would have known not to click if you were on the wrong page.
Another idea that has come up, which I think is really good, and I believe you use it, you folks use it in the radio and television media, is when somebody like me says something, it doesn't go right out over the air instantaneously. There's a lag.
Yeah.
So if I said something just completely out of line, you can stop it before it actually goes out over the air.
Did the person know immediately that he had made the mistake or she had made the mistake? Did they instantly know, or did they only find out that they'd made the mistake later?
They found out within seconds because it started coming over their own telephone.
I'm not laughing.
Pocket, and,
golly, damn.
It was one of those, what did the president say? He used the word with S the other day.
Yeah.
You know, what happened?
No kidding.
And,
it's funny.
What we have missing, though, in our process is a way we were able to stop the message. In other words, once it went out, it's like unringing a bell. You really can't. It goes in waves, the messaging, and we stopped all the subsequent waves. But what we don't have is a way of sending out immediately or as quickly a cancellation made message to the public. Who knows why that wasn't designed into the software? But that we've put in place now. We put it in over the weekend. Seemed like a very simple fix, and it should have been there from the beginning. It's true. You know, it's on us. We should have had that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have breaks somewhere.
So in other words,
the focus has been on getting the message out to protect the people. And, you know, it was a second thought, hey, what if we did it accidentally?
You know, my producer, Aleph, reminded me of what happened here in Chicago last week. The head of our teachers' union in the Chicago Public Schools, her obituary was accidentally published in the Chicago Sun-Times. She's alive and she's recovering from illness. That's why it was handy. But she's well, and the rumors of her passing are much exaggerated. The instant it's the instant that that person hit publish, he instantly knew it was a mistake, and yet it was about as long as it was for you all for them to unpublish it. There has to be an immediate erase button that would only put it up for a few seconds rather than 38 minutes.
Right. So the 38 minutes occurred because, you know, we put it out. We stopped the subsequent waves of the messaging so people wouldn't keep getting the message. We did not trigger the siren system, which is usually triggered along with the electronic means.
Oh.
I mean, so that's the good part. The bad part is we did not have a procedure in place to send another message out that says, you know, this is a false alarm, an error, go back to your life. And if we'd sent that out, let's say, within the first minute, you know, people would have started the move, they would have gone, oh, no, and then they would have seen the subsequent message and went, oh, okay. But 38 minutes is longer than the launch time. That's why I shared it with you from North Korea. So this had people doing what we've been asking them to do and terrifying them in the process. And that's the focus of our work in the next months is, number one, prevent it from happening. Two, being able to stop it once it gets going. And then three, continuing to tell our public, because we need to regain their confidence. When they see that, if they ever see a message like this in the future, it can't be an error.
Yeah.
And if it is a real launch, their life is in jeopardy, and they need to take the measure. They can't go, oh, well, let's think about this. This might be a mistake.
Two quick questions about this. So then if it wasn't via the sirens, the air raid sirens didn't go off, it was messaging on phones and highway signs.
Right.
Is that principally how it went out? Did radio and TV broadcast it?
Some of them did, and that's what we're going to look at this week. The message that goes out over the phones is called Wireless Emergency Alert, and that's supposed to be carried by all the cellular providers.
Yeah.
There is early evidence that not all of them carried it. So, and we're not allowed to test that system, I might add. We test our sirens every month, but we are not allowed to test the electronic messaging.
Why?
And that's a FCC rule. FCC rule.
I'll get that changed tomorrow. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Well, I think that's a really big one. And in fact, the message we did send out 38 minutes later, we used the same system that we put out the original message on, and we really weren't authorized to do that. We just did it. Because when you send something out, you need to be able to send the retraction along the same mechanism.
The other thing, though, that is a little troubling to me, or maybe should be concerning to all of us, is I don't know that Hawaiians, one guy said, well, I'm screwed. I'm going to finish golfing. I mean, if in 20 or 30 minutes a nuclear bomb's going to explode over Honolulu, really, what options do people have? How can they safeguard themselves if it was true and if they had taken it seriously?
So one thing we don't know is we don't know how big even if he could shoot a missile at us. There's evidence suggesting that he can. This is, of course, North Korea. We don't know the targeting, where it would actually land. He might shoot at one place and land someplace else.
Sure.
And we don't know the yield of the device, how big it is. So therefore, it's very difficult to say where it would go. I recall a scene in the movie Gettysburg, when they were about to do Pickett's charge, and Confederate soldiers were running back and forth between the trees, trying to avoid Union artillery. And the general just said, stand where you are. One spot is as good as any other.
Right. You may say, oh, my God, they're coming. I'll leave the golf course, and I'll head to my house. Well, that may be where the bomb explodes. Maybe the golf course is the safest place to be.
You're running into the path of it.
Sure.
So, you've got those factors out there, and we've been considering that, of course. But the main thing is there's really three things the public needs to know, and we've been pushing this out pretty aggressively for a year now. One is the get inside means get out from the open. If you're on a golf course, it's not a good place, but lay flat. Get into a reinforced structure, a parking structure, a commercial building, away from the windows towards the core, and then stay there until something happens. Or we send out over radio and TV an all-clear message. And what's interesting is a lot of people did exactly that, and we're pleased about that, actually. But many others didn't, and in particular our visitor industry. Most of the commotion that you saw on CNN and other places were visitors. And they don't have the benefit of the education, the public service announcements, and other things we do. So they really didn't know what to do. And, again, this is a great time to do more education. So we've got to correct the problem. We got to make sure that we never do it again. And third, we got to observe as much and collect as much information as we can about what the public actually did to see what we can do to improve their performance.
Maybe in a weird sort of way, this will be good. A, you've had a real-time discovery of the flaws of the system, and the rest of us maybe need to take this to heart as well. What are we going to do in Chicago? What's our system like, et cetera, et cetera? So, maybe we can benefit from this.
I love Chicago. I'd hate to have something happen to it. So,
we've never had more visitors to this city than we did last year. Come visit us sometime, Toby. I'd love to have you in our studio someday.
Oh, I've been there several times. I just love Chicago. And every time there's a conference or a meeting up there, I'm the first one to get out the door. So it's great to talk to you, and my best to everyone in Chicago.
Toby Claremont is the executive officer of the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency. Our best to all of you. And now I bid you aloha.
Aloha.
See how he said it a little differently. Thank you, sir.